they have already decided when they place the hand on the dealership door and walk through the door, the only thing left to do is provide an experience because they've sold themselves. So it's a really cool spot to be in where we don't have to worry so much about the sales process anymore and selling the vehicle, but we do have to worry about how we treat our customers. And those customers, 79% of them, are going to hit the road if the experience isn't what they want it to be. They're going to go choose the competition because they provide a better experience. And so it's a really cool spot to be in because for the first time ever, all we have to do is focus on being really good humans to the humans that we serve.
Welcome to the Sensei Playbook, the ultimate podcast for the automotive industry. Each week, we dive into the success stories and best practices from industry leaders who put customer experience first. From driving repeat business to earning coveted referrals, discover the tools and tactics that set the best apart. Get ready to hit the road to success. This is the Sensei Playbook.
Welcome back to the Sensei Playbook podcast. Today, we have a very special guest. We're joined by Katie Merez. She is a motivational speaker, a best-selling author, a customer experience designer for some of the top companies in the world. She's founded a nonprofit to help women who've been the victim of domestic abuse, and she's here today to share her wisdom to help dealerships deliver a five-star customer experience. Let's get into it. Katie, we're super excited to have you here today to talk about your work, your background as a author, speaker, trainer, with the subject matter of customer experience is truly exciting to us, and we look to really dive in and learn more about what you're doing.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here. I love talking about customer experience. I think it's not talked about enough, and it's definitely not actioned enough. Right now, I think that the world is in what I like to call the experience competition era, where, you know, the automotive space is one industry. This pertains to all industries, but especially in the automotive space, a customer can look at all the different types of vehicles that they want in as many different dealerships, no matter where they are in the world, all the different OEMs, and they can basically pick or choose the make, model, trim level, leasing rate, financing rate. They have already decided when they place the hand on the dealership door and walk through the door, the only thing left to do is provide an experience because they've sold themselves. So it's a really cool spot to be in where we don't have to worry so much about the sales process anymore and selling the vehicle, but we do have to worry about how we treat our customers. And those customers, 79% of them, are going to hit the road if the experience isn't what they want it to be. They're going to go choose the competition because they provide a better experience. And so it's a really cool spot to be in because for the first time ever, all we have to do is focus on being really good humans to the humans that we serve.
Wow, we are talking the same language. We often tell dealers that, you know, the defining difference when someone is shopping for a car is the customer experience because your inventory is very similar. Your sale prices are similar. Your incentives are almost the same and your locations are pretty much, you know, the same as well. The only defining difference is customer experience. So the way to stand out is to truly provide an exceptional customer experience.
You talked about the five elements of a exceptional customer experience. Can you hit on that for a minute?
Yeah. So five steps to a five-star experience. It's something that I speak on a lot on stages. First and foremost, the first step is to be genuine and to genuinely care about the person. The second step is to use that person's name. That's extremely, extremely important. The third is what you say and how you say it matters. So especially in the car business, we have a lot of slang for a lot of things. A customer doesn't need to hear that the next up has walked through the door. We do have to speak in full sentences and your words have power and the tone of how you say something. Even if you have a customer in front of you that might have a language barrier, the way you say things is universal. We all know when our name, once upon a time, or currently if you have kids, when a parent screams a child's name in a certain way or uses the first name and the middle name, you know you're in trouble. But that tonality is universal. So the way you speak to a customer is extremely important and the tone you use because they pick up on that. Is super important. Being a hero, meaning figuring out how to service recover is everything, because we're humans. I know that bots are, you know, finding their way into the world. However, our customers are humans. They're not bots. And we are humans serving humans. And we're going to drop the ball sometimes. That's just, I mean, let's face it. So having a system in place and having a culture that promotes the ability for your team to step up and take care of a ball that's dropped is extremely, extremely important. So being a hero, because you can actually create more loyalty with a customer by saving an experience than you can just delivering one right off the bat. That's fantastic. And the last is be consistent. Every customer, every time. We have what I believe is this like zero balance trust account with our customers and our employees, our internal customers. And it's up to us to put in deposits into this bank account so that we create this buffer for when we do drop the ball. It's going to happen. And it takes 12 positive experiences to make up for one negative. Huh. So if you don't put in these deposits into this trust account, then you're going to go into overdraft. And if you go into overdraft and you drop that ball, forget it. You've lost the customer. You've lost the employee. You probably have a bad review on Google. And, you know, thousands of more people know that you dropped the ball. So it's really important to be consistent so that you can, in fact, be a hero. But with every customer, every time.
The unhappy customer will tell a lot more people than the happy customer.
Oh, yeah. Especially the female consumer. Like, women are the original social media, right? Like, you can imagine, like, back in the day when women didn't go to work and they were homemakers, they'd walk out of their backyard. You can picture little white picket fences and the ladies, you know, with their iced teas talking over the fence. They're sharing. Who did they talk to today? What products did they buy? What did they like? What didn't they like? At that point, there were door-to-door salesmen. So this salesman rubbed me the wrong way, or this product was amazing, or I went to this store. And now women have the megaphone of the World Wide Web, and they use social media. I think it's 76 to 57%, 76% women to men use social media as a means to decide where they're going or to offer reviews. So knowing that women are the most influential consumer of the world, which maybe your guests or your listeners don't know that yet, but they are, we are, she's also the most influential in terms of the poor experiences.
Yes. I think the only ones that don't know that are the single ones. So the married amongst us, though, we certainly recognize that.
Happy wife, happy life.
Absolutely.
Yes, that is a thing.
It's a thing for a reason. So you do a lot of work examining the differences between men and women and the physiology and the psychology of, I assume, the buying experience and how that plays out. Can you talk a little bit about that and some of the main differences you see?
Yeah, so it's funny, though, when I consult or train or I'm on a stage, most of the feedback I get is, wow, not only did you help me with my business, but you saved my marriage, or you helped me speak wife. We don't fight as much anymore. My wife is grateful for you. There are some major physiological differences between men and women. And here's the thing. Men aren't bad. Women aren't bad. We're just different. Men are from Mars. Women are from Venus. It is what it is. It's a real deal. So it's just high time we look at the differences, accept the differences, and look at them as really a woman's difference. You know, her strength is his weakness and vice versa. And physiologically, there's a couple of major differences that I talk about a lot. And one is our limbic brain. So our limbic brain, which houses our hippocampus, which is our emotional and memory hub of our brain, it's what drives our decision-making process, is almost double the size of a man. So I always, I like the facial expression. I was like, yeah, it makes sense. So, you know, I say on stage all the time, if you have like a wife, a daughter, a sister, a girlfriend, a female friend, a grandmother, any woman in your life that remembers a fight in grave detail from like 5 years ago, it's not her fault. Like, she's built that way. She's built that way. And your customers are the exact same way. You know, we feel more greatly. We remember in far detail and we communicate. So if we go through communication, the difference between men and women is men only communicate with one side of their brain. We, as women, communicate with both. So men use logic to communicate. That's it. That's all. There's no creativity behind it. It's point A to point B. Black and white needs to make sense. No fuss, no muss. A woman communicates with logic and creativity. So when a woman feels a need to describe the story or sit there and describe her feelings or, you know, different parts of the event. It's because that's the way she is built to communicate. We actually have more gray matter that connects both sides of our brain, and we can actually compute more complex ideas and communicate them in a more diverse and concise way because we are able to use both sides of our brain when we communicate. So when we have a female consumer, it's important to know that she is going to ask more questions. She is going to want more, you know, explanation, more detail in that explanation. That's just the way she's built. Another big difference between men and women is the fact that women want a hedonic experience where men want a utilitarian one. Men want a point A to point B, just very much like logical, just no fuss, no muss. This is what I want. Please give me the path of least resistance. And a woman is going to want an experience of the senses. So she cares about the lighting. She cares about the smells. She cares about the temperature. She cares about how she feels. And I say to everyone I speak to, I shouldn't say to a lot of people because it's everyone, if we build the experience for him, utilitarian, we lose her. She's like, I'm out. If you build it for her, a hedonic experience, an experience of the senses, you keep him because he could care less. He'll find his way to point A to point B.
That's interesting.
So with women influencing, and I know this is, you know, primarily in the automotive space, but with women influencing 85% of vehicle purchases when in a coupled relationship and purchasing 65% of all new vehicles and saying yes, 65 to 70% of all ROs are being said yes to by a woman, which correlates to the 65% of women that are purchasing new vehicles, it makes sense to build it for her. And in an industry primarily run by men, the experience is designed by men, for men, delivered by men, and we lose the world's most influential consumer.
It's interesting how that plays out when we go to dealerships and just the physical built environment of the dealership and the interior design and clean restrooms. And you see hospitality influencing the upscale dealerships in a major way. And it feels almost like a hotel lobby when you're in some of these dealerships.
Yeah, it's high time. It's about time. I love seeing this transformation. And it's, you know, I've always said when I work with dealerships, when I'm on stage at automotive events, if you're looking within the industry, you're going to fail every time. Because here's the deal is that a woman or a man, a customer, will drive off your lot. And unless they're returning for service, they're not returning to buy another car for 5 to 8 years, depending on what study you look at. The experience competition is not another car dealership. The experience competition is where your customer is spending money every single day. And yes, we are seeing dealerships being designed in a bigger, better way that is more hospitality focused. And they're super smart because that's where they're spending their discretionary income. And that's where they expect the type of experience their expectation comes from, is that we get a better experience with a $7 latte than we do a $70,000 car purchase.
Yeah. Have you heard of Beaver Toyota?
I have not.
So they have a number of stores. One is here. I think they spent close to $50 million on the facility. Wow. They have a hair salon, nail salon, massage. You can get alcohol. They have a bar.
I love that.
They even have a chaplain. They've had services there.
Oh, they get married at the Toyota dealership?
I don't know if you can get married, but
yeah.
they've had services there.
But magic.
Of the facility has meeting rooms that any local company can use. They invite you in, no charge, just they let the community come in.
So smart.
Yeah, brilliant.
So smart.
It's a total experience.
There are progressive dealers out there. Right. There are the ones that look outside the industry to see what – so disappointment is expectations not met. And so when your customer is spending their money in places like hospitality, on vacations, in a Starbucks coffee shop, at Nordstrom, or they drive through a Chick-fil-A and they get my pleasure for spending, you know, $12 on a combo, they're looking at in that direction to then service the customer in their dealership. And those are the brilliant individuals, because if you're looking at the next dealership, you're going to get it wrong.
That's right.
Speaking of getting it wrong, what would you say men get the most wrong in the automotive world if they're selling to women?
So, you know, and this is going to sound so simple. Don't just greet the man, greet them. Don't ever ask a woman if her husband is going to come or if she needs to make a decision, if she needs to wait and check in with her husband. Don't ever do that. Women are opening more businesses as we speak than men are. They are also 2-to-1 graduating from university with more degrees than men are. We make our own money now, and we don't need our husband's permission. But I can tell you that no woman will ever say, I need to check with my husband, but every man will say, I need to check with my wife.
Yeah.
Most men.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So I would always ask a question when I was selling cars. I would always ask very upfront, early in the conversation, hey, you don't have to buy today, do you? And I would ask that question, and Grant Cardone, I worked for Grant Cardone, and he trained that back in the day, and it was designed to relieve pressure. Most salespeople that you meet in the automotive industry are saying, what do we need to do to get the deal done today? And that creates pressure. And the last thing a consumer, the last thing you want a consumer to feel is pressure. If they feel pressure, they put up a wall. So they would say, what do you mean? You know, I don't have to buy today. And I would say, well, you know, as your, you know, automotive transportation specialist, I need to make sure we find the right car at the right price with all the right features. And that doesn't always happen on the same day.
Yeah. No, that's relieving pressure is great, especially from a female point of view, because she cares very much about creating a genuine relationship with the person that she's interacting with, even if it's just a sales associate.
Right.
If there is pressure involved, that will feel very disingenuous.
And untrustworthy.
What brought you into the automotive industry, and how did you, backing up a little bit, like, what was your path into that?
I had a really, really shitty car buying experience, to be real. I had several of them. So I designed experiences.
Most people have.
Yeah, so I design experiences for large organizations around the world outside the industry, and including, I don't know if you all have heard of Celebrity Cruises, but I designed their entire guest experience, and I traveled for 3 years on board their ships training their team, and I worked with Forbes, and I was part of the team that brought in the very first Forbes star rating for the cruise industry. So when I say I designed and worked with some of the best, I really have. And so it's very hard for me when I go in as a customer to turn off my customer experience expert hat, right? Because not everybody performs at that level. But this was way, way, way below anything I've ever experienced or expected from a customer experience. And I'll never forget, I went into a Nissan dealership because I was driving a Rogue at the time. And I brought my kids, and it took 17 minutes for somebody to approach me. And when finally somebody approached me, he put out his hand, and the first thing he said is, will your husband be joining you? And I was, but I'm buying the car. What do you mean is my husband joining me? I had the same type of experience for 7 different OEs. I didn't go back to another Nissan store. I went to just different manufacturers. Until I landed at Hyundai, and they treated me like a human. They treated my kids like they were special. They took them off my hands. They even had the car seats for me to be able to go do a test drive, and there was no pressure. But they most importantly treated me as if I was an equal, and they never asked me if my husband was attending. I don't have a husband. I'm a single mom, so there was no husband to come to this experience with me. And I ended up saving $20,000 because I wanted a 3-row SUV and I wanted the brand name, and I ended up with a Hyundai, and it's not what I wanted, but I paid less and I got a great experience. So at that point, I went down the rabbit hole of research and realized, number one, there's so much opportunity from a customer experience point of view in the industry. But number two, oh my gosh, from a gender disparity gap concern and from an inequality and exclusivity and equality point of view, the industry was failing female consumers, female employees, minorities, I mean, all of the above. And so I started to apply to speak at, you know, Digital Dealer, NADA, Women in Automotive, all the major, I've spoken at all the major conferences, SEMA, wrote my book, Custom Her Experience, which is number one bestseller, and thank you. And I now speak and design experiences like Toyota, Volvo, Honda. I've spoken at NADA, as I mentioned. I sit on the board of Women in Automotive. I, you know, so I've just kind of come into the industry.
Maybe how long ago was this that you got involved?
That is, so I have a funny story, but I started in the industry about 7 years ago, and I took about a three and a half year hiatus. I was in a pretty bad abusive relationship. So I'm a domestic abuse survivor, and I actually have a nonprofit called Ladies Take Control, and I help women find the courage to do hard things in dark times. So I am now just back into the industry. So 10 months ago, I was discarded. I was told to go sell my body for groceries. I was left with not a penny. I was actually left in debt, no career, because I gave it up to run his businesses. And so 7 years, but really I've retaken the industry by storm in the last 10 months.
Congratulations.
Did that experience influence how you think about customer experience at all?
Yeah, it makes me believe even more so that I already believe that everybody has a story. And what you see on the outside, you know, if you were to look at my Instagram, you would have thought I had the best life on planet Earth. I had the 4-carat diamond engagement ring. I wore the Cartier. I had the Louis Vuittons. I traveled the world. What we see on the outside isn't necessarily what happens behind closed doors. And so it gives me much more compassion and empathy, and it helps me help men especially understand the challenges women go through being in such a male-dominated space. But then it also helps me speak to women in a way I've never been able to speak to them before, and saying, listen, you've got this. You know, you don't have to look at that obstacle and make an excuse. You are capable of moving that obstacle and choosing to rise and choosing the life that you want. And I can say it from an experience point of view. So, yeah, it's definitely affected the way I look at humans and the way I approach humans and the way I coach humans.
Well, I want to tell you a story, a female friend who's going through a pretty rough divorce right now, and it involved domestic abuse. And after I watched her TED Talk, I sent it to her, and she was like, wow. She was like, God works in mysterious ways. She was like, how did you know to send that to me today? And I was like, that's God at work. So she was touched by it as I was. It was, that's a very touching story.
Oh, thank you. And you should tell her about Ladies Take Control. I do a free mentoring circle every single month. I have speakers come in. I had a speaker last night talking about the seasons of leadership and how to move through the seasons of change. Next month is going to be speaking on, I have a confidence coach coming in to speak about how to level up a woman's confidence. So I'm constantly giving out free knowledge and free inspiration to women because I needed it. I didn't have two nickels to rub together, and so now the nonprofit is there to serve.
I've written down a question that you almost just answered in a way, but I was curious what you thought the role of storytelling was in customer experience.
I mean, it's everything. I believe that story allows you to have a shared experience. Often when I coach teams, I share – can I share a story with you?
Yeah, obviously.
Cool? Okay.
Yeah, sure.
My littlest, so I have 14-year-old twins and I have a 11-year-old, but when my babies, my 11-year-old specifically, was young and I still tucked her into bed, it was her favorite time of the night and says no child ever, but for her it was. I'll never forget, her feet would like pitter-patter up the stairs as she ran feverishly into her room, and I'd pull back the comforter and she'd hop into bed and I'd cover her up, and her room was white and she had this pink daisy light that hung on her wall, the plastic one. Yep. You know, they do bugs and all the things. Well, she had a pink daisy, and so I shut off the lights in the room and I clicked on the light and the whole room glows pink, and I'd snuggle into bed with her and we'd open up this book called The Taya Sisters Adventures, and it's just these mice that go on these adventures of problem solving and tale solving anyways. And in the book, there are like these words that are italicized and bolded and different colors. And so we'd read through a chapter, and then at the end of every chapter, every night, no matter what, she'd point to all the bolded italicized words, and I'd say them to her and recite them. And then I'd close the book, shut off the light. And she always gives me a kiss just on the bridge of my nose. And she, you know, always says, Mama, I love you so much. You're the best mommy ever. And I just, you know, feel this like incredible warmth, and I snuggle her. The reason I share this, and for anyone listening, how many of you, and I ask the questions, and to you two gentlemen, did you hear the pitter-patter of the feet? Mm. How many saw the little girl jump into the bed?
Yeah.
And the room glow pink?
Yeah.
And how many of you saw the italicized words on the pages of that book. And then also that feeling that a mother feels. Did you feel that feeling of love? Mm. So that's the power of storytelling.
Wow.
We just had a shared experience.
Yes. That's cool.
And so what effect does that have on the customer experience? I mean, it's everything. If you can sell through storytelling, if you can be vulnerable, and I don't mean vulnerable as in like air all your dirty laundry and talk about drama. I mean vulnerable as in she talks about an experience that she had driving little Johnny to soccer, and you have a similar experience. You can share that story, and all of a sudden you're connected on a different level than you would have been if you just passed that story by. So it has a profound effect because it allows two humans to connect without force. And it releases, you know, serotonin and dopamine, but also the one hormone that we want to release in all of experience is oxytocin. Oxytocin is the bonding hormone. If you can bond with your customers, you have a customer for life. And storytelling is a great way to do that.
It's the sales hormone.
Yeah, it is.
Rosie, there you go. That's excellent.
Was that a good answer?
That was a great answer. Any post answers?
I have 13-year-old twins.
Oh, you do? Yeah. Boys, girls?
Boy, girl.
I have a boy, girl.
No. And they were so close at one time. Now they're little, you know, they're like bickering.
Oh, yeah, that happens too.
But
yeah.
He did let her walk to school with his friends today. He was walking to school, which was about a mile and a half. They woke up early, and they wanted to walk to school with his buddies, and she was wanting to go with them. And at first he was resisting, and I was like, why aren't you going to let your sister go? And he finally, you know, relented this morning and let her go.
Well, good. I'm glad. Yes. He step up to the big brother.
That's right.
So is he older? Is he older?
By a minute. An older brother.
Ella's older. So my daughter's older by 31 seconds. Wow. And let me tell you, everybody knows.
She doesn't. I didn't forget it.
Yeah. But he's bigger by like 5 inches.
Oh,
so.
Wow.
Yeah. He's like 5'11 almost.
Wow.
And she's like 5'4 and a half.
So nobody guesses them to be twins.
No. He looks 2 years older than she does. He's a man. I'm like, buddy, you're as big as some of the guys I date. You're 5'11", like 160 pounds. What the heck?
How tall was his father?
6'1".
Okay.
Yeah, so he'll be up and around there, yep. I'm sure. Maybe a little taller, 6'2".
Yep. Twins are awesome. It's a fun dynamic.
Well, they're awesome now. I don't know how awesome they were when they were babies.
Though. Yes.
I've got a 17-month-old. So, yes.
Yeah.
Jesse's I have a 17-month-old daughter, so I am...
How old?
17 months.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm in it.
Wow.
I mean, yes. I'm out of survival mode, at least. You know, like, the first 6 months is, like, just trying to, like, survive and not go crazy. But, yeah, she's amazing, though. It's, like, the happiest...
Oh, for
happiest
sure.
Happiest kid, so much fun now. So, yes.
It's not easy, but it's worth it.
That's right.
What would you say, going back to customer experience, or some of the trends you see in customer experience right now?
Yeah, so some of the trends I'm seeing is, number one, as I mentioned earlier, 79% of your customers are going to leave you for the competition based off of experience alone. So that's huge. Mm-hmm. So if you're not playing in the experience competition game, then you're going to lose every single time. 80% of customers say that the experience they receive is more important than anything before or anything at all, and it's more important than any time prior to that. And then I would say the other one is that I think the stat is, and I'll get you the right stat so you can put it in the show notes, because don't quote me, but I think it's 76%. It might be 74. But customers want to actually interact with humans. Like, they want to come into the store. They want to have that experience. I'm the tail end of millennials, so it's not just millennial and boomers and, you know, all, you know, the older folks. It's actually the Gen Zs. Like, even my daughter at 14, she still wants to go. She's like, yeah, I'll research online. But she wants to touch and feel, and she wants to have that experience, especially for women. So women actually have the same physiological reactions when they're shopping that they do when they're falling in love, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. And so it's important for her to have the warm and fuzzies and to have that journey, and that's what helps her make the decisions, especially tied in with the limbic brain. So I say the biggest trends is that even though we have bots everywhere and even though we're talking about technology, the experience in person hasn't gone away. Like, people still crave it. So if we're putting all our eggs into one basket, you're going to lose every single time.
Yeah, people thought Carvana was the future, and they're not doing well. People want that experience. They want to go in. They want to go through the selection. They want to meet someone. They want to be educated. And you don't get any of that with Carvana.
Mm-mm, nothing. And so there is, I believe, a happy medium. I believe that I believe that AI and technology is important. I think that there's a place for it. I think that we need it to help become more efficient. But our customers are not bots, so we cannot serve them with bots. They are humans, so we need to serve them with humans. I was speaking at a customer contact week conference on the 5 steps to a 5-star experience back in January in Austin. And I had a standing room only, 150 people out the door, and it was incredible. I started the talk with, I am not going to talk about AI, and the entire room erupted into cheers because we're sick of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the biggest thing to take a hold of, whether it's a trend or just an aha awareness moment, is that the Carvanas of the world, yes, they have their place. Do customers want to research online and get to the very point where they've made their decision and then walk into the store? 100%. But that means that the end-to-end experience, the end-to-end user experience has to be flawless. So if they receive a great experience online, that experience has to match when they come in person.
Mm.
And vice versa. If they come and shop and then they want to go online, it should be seamless, and it should be an easy to use and easy to execute experience. So technology has its place, but it's not going to replace the human connection.
100%.
It seems like you're saying that it's basically the salesperson's to lose when somebody comes in. Like, they've already made up their mind. They want to buy a car, and are you going to drop the ball on the 1-yard line or not?
Exactly. That's all it is. It's literally I talk about this a lot, but if you've got marketing, you've got merchandise, and you've got systems and processes, right? Like, that's basically the car industry, this triangle. What we forget is that there's a human involved, right? Like, where's the human experience? Where's the customer experience? Where's the internal customer experience? When we look at the way technology is today, it's basically serving up the triangle. And the only thing left for us to do is to provide the experience. Coach your people on emotional intelligence. Design a brand experience. Break down your journey map in your sales process and put some interaction in there. Go from service to experience, from transaction to interaction. Teach your people how to listen. And because our favorite person to talk about is ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So your customer is going to give you all the information you need to know in order to tailor that experience to them and make them feel genuine, make them feel like a personalized experience is being delivered.
Mm.
It's literally the only thing left to do now because the customer is doing everything else.
Yeah.
Yep. I read a stat that was like, I think it was 90% of the buying process occurs without any one-to-one communication with somebody that works for your company. So basically, everyone's doing 90% of it, and then you just have to do the last 10%.
Yeah, it's like old school. I used to design shoe stores, and I used to do visual merchandising, and I used to say, your windows are your silent sellers, right? This was before technology came into play, is that every time a person would come into the mall before or after hours and they walk by your window, those windows are selling for you. They're going to make a decision to come back tomorrow because they've seen something in there that's piqued their interest. Well, your technology is your silent seller. You know, that is the way we should look at it. It's a third a salesperson that never sleeps. And when they should be, your customers are laying in bed next to their significant other. They should be talking to their significant other, but they're not. They're on their phone. They're doing research. They're scrolling through TikTok. They're not. It's true, though. They're checking emails, They're not actually having the connection they should have with their partners. But thankfully, for businesses, that's happening. But they're selling themselves, and so, all of it is happening, behind closed doors. And so that's when I said at the beginning of this conversation is the moment that person places the hand on the door handle of your dealership and they pull that door open, they're sold. Mm-hmm. They've done all the work for you. Now all you have to do is be a really awesome, kind human. Now, there's a difference between being nice and kind. Nice is like, I have to be here. I don't want to be here, but I've been told I have to be nice. Kind is genuine, and it's like, I really love what I do. But when you're kind, you win. It's really that simple, especially now that a customer has already sold themselves.
Let me ask you this from a marketing standpoint. How do you recommend that car dealers utilize social media or leverage social media to showcase their customer experience?
Yeah, so that's a big question. But I'm going to attack it from the female consumer's point of view because I think that's most important because women are consuming that more than men. But from a female point of view, women want to do business with businesses they see themselves in. So showing that you have happy employees, especially happy female employees that are willing to share their story and it looks like a great place to work, that's a great way to market to individuals. The other thing women really love is cause marketing. So if you're in a community and you're doing some really great things in your community, like showcase that. Use social media to get that out there because, again, a woman's limbic brain is double the size of a man's. And when you can pull on her heartstrings, you're going to have an emotional connection with her before she even walks through the door because she already thinks you're a great person. Oh, if this business is doing it, the person that's running it must be great. Their employees look happy. So when it comes to social media marketing, just be real. Like, show up and be real. It, you know, yeah, some of the TikTok videos are funny. You know, it's great. There's a lady that does incredible things. She's got your keys, Tiana Mick. I don't know if you've ever heard of her, but she's fantastic. She'd be a great person to have on your podcast. I love her to death. Young woman, youngest NADA speaker to ever have spoken. Like, she's just fantastic. Nice. She does some incredible things with TikTok marketing for dealerships. So the Gitchy videos are important for the funny factor for when you're laying in bed and you're scrolling and you're trying to numb your mind a little, mindlessly scroll through and flip through reels. But also from an Instagram, Facebook perspective, is just showing up as who you are is really important. Being genuine. I can't stress that enough. You know, we see enough. I call it the white picket fence syndrome on social media. Like, we see enough of the, oh, life is perfect and this is us. Nobody believes it anymore. So being as real as you possibly can and showcasing the women that are in your dealership, extremely important.
Good stuff. I know we're coming up on the hour here. And Chris always has a question he'll ask in a minute. But I wanted to just ask, like, what book are you reading right now?
Oh, what am I not reading? So I listen to at least 5 books a week and I read 2. So I'm consuming 7 books a week.
Wow.
Currently, I am reading again for like the 5th time, The 4 Agreements. And on Audible, I am listening to The Science of Getting Rich and The Secret and The Greatest Secret. Those are my 4 currently.
What speed do you listen to it at?
1.7.
Oh. Wow.
No wonder you can get through them.
You work your way.
Well, I also, that's all I do in my spare time. So I'm also, you know, I'm a faith-based woman. So I also read the Bible every day. That is a book I read every single day. It's my favorite book and I go to it all the time. But yeah, so I'm reading all the time and I'm now writing a new book.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to give the title away, but it is basically how to design an experience that women want to work in and how that's going to increase your top line revenue. It is smart business to hire women and to have a diverse workforce. And so I am going to teach, I mean, male dominated spaces, but primarily the automotive space, how to do that.
Well, we've seen a lot of general managers, like a lot more female general managers. In fact, we've interviewed a few. And it's funny because I was looking at your LinkedIn and I saw a friend of mine, Erica Tiffany from Atlanta. She's, I guess, in Minnesota now, Minneapolis now. And I saw that y'all were at the event together, and I was like, wow, what a small world. I mean, she has done phenomenal.
That woman impresses me. Oh, my goodness. I, like, totally girl crush on her. She is so great. I saw her speak at a SODU for WOCAN, and she was also on stage on a panel. She's phenomenal. I feel humbled to be part of a circle with women like her because she is a trailblazer. And the fact that I get to learn from her and rub shoulders with her is just, like,
it's amazing.
Yeah, it's a dream come true. I think this morning.
Yes, I saw it.
This new book come out.
Very
I'll be doing a big signing at NADA.
Very cool. And tell us about your I know you have an upcoming event, a couple of upcoming events. So tell us about those.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, other than I'm speaking at a few events that I think are open to the public, like BenQ's Unleashed, I'm speaking there with Danielle Delgado. I will be speaking at an event for the Virginia Auto Dealer Association, so September 23rd there, September 24th in Kansas. I am hosting my first Power of Experience workshop in Southern California. I am so excited about it, where we will actually break down how to design an experience. So break down the journey mapping and how do you create a brand experience playbook. I've never done it before. I only ever do that for consulting clients. So this is kind of like a once in a lifetime thing to learn from me, which I have taught some of the largest organizations in the world. So that's happening September 12th in Southern California.
And that's car dealers or industry?
It's car dealer. Oh, it's car dealer focused.
Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So we break down the journey map for car dealers. So if you don't want to hire me at my lovely daily rate, you can send somebody for $3.99. So it's a steal.
Where in Southern California is it?
It's just in Orange County.
Okay.
And you can go to powerofexperience.ca and all the information is there. And then in October, something else that I'm doing that is so much fun is that I actually get to sit on the board of TEDx South Lake Dallas. And we have a huge event happening on October 27th. It's in a beautiful theater. So if you want to see some incredible speakers with some incredible ideas worth hearing, you definitely want to check out that. And the event is like $60. It's really inexpensive. If you want to meet the speakers and the board and learn how to develop and apply for a TED Talk, I think the ticket's $100. So it's a no-brainer.
That's in Dallas?
That's in Dallas. That's in South Lake. And
I think we need a road trip.
I was going to say, then we can go hit Orange County.
Right.
Yes.
Well, anything else? I mean, not that you don't. Listed a ton of amazing things, but is there anything else you got going on that you'd like to talk about?
Ladies Take Control is extremely important to me and near and dear to my heart, and it's free for women, so you can go to ladiestakecontrol.com. Our last event on June 14th, which was free, we had the president and CEO of FIFA World Cup 2025 speak. We had the first female captain of a mega cruise ship speak. We have some incredible women that pour into women for free. That was 606 women. So the goal is 1,500 women to help and serve, and the next event is in December. And I'm actually, and this is way far out, so everyone's going to forget about it by the time, but maybe this is evergreen content, so they'll listen to it just in time. But we are having our first live event in Orange County on June 25th, so I'm really excited.
Before Chris asks his question, I just wanted to ask how people can get in touch with you if they want to reach out.
Yeah, so Google me, Katie Maris, and I come up. But no, you know, Instagram. So I treat my social platforms a little differently. Like, so on LinkedIn, it's very professional. On Facebook, you get a little bit of both. But Instagram, if you really want to know who Katie is and you want to interact with me, Instagram's where I'm at. You can DM me. I answer every DM. You can reach out to my email, katie@katiemaris.com. And if you DM me, I always give out my cell phone number because I'm happy to help whoever needs help. So those would be the areas. You can check out my website, katiemaris.com or ladiestakecontrol.com.
Amazing.
And Chris, drum roll.
So the last question we'll end with.
This last question. I'm chomping at the bit here.
What is it that you want to be known for?
Oh, I want to be known for impacting the ability for women to find the courage to do hard things and to get out of places that they feel stuck and know that they have a choice to rise regardless of their circumstances.
That's noble.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Great. I want to make money so I can serve.
Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us.
It went by. Oh my gosh. Quickly. Thank you for having me. I'm glad I picked up that call because I never pick up unknown calls. So I'm really, really glad I picked up here.
Well, Aaron would not have stopped at one.
Oh, well, there we go.
But I think
God works in mysterious ways, right? Like you said.
That's right.
To be. I'm honored to be here. Thank you for your time. It's really important to me. So I'm really, really honored that you think I have valuable enough information to be on your platform.
We truly appreciate you.
Okay, awesome.